Welcome to today's Citizens Climate University, a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobby that is providing support for CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight's topic is going to be a walkthrough of making plans for in-district lobbying. The Energy Innovation Act continues to provide an exciting opportunity for your group to keep making plans to meet with your congressional members, not only in D.C., but when you're visiting them back home in district. So let's get started. And with us tonight is our featured speaker, the wonderful Dawn Addo. Dawn is a native of North Carolina and a graduate of Appalachian State University with a degree in ecology and environmental biology. He spent the last decade advocating for renewable energy and action on climate change, founded the first Citizens Climate Lobby group in North Carolina back in 2011, and is currently the Southeast Director, managing over 40 active groups spanning the Carolinas, Virginia, West Virginia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Georgia, Florida, and Alabama. He's also happened to lobby across the majority of all of these districts throughout the Southeast, members of Congress from all of these different states, and has plenty of advice to pass on to us tonight. His primary focus is on grassroots organizing along with direct congressional lobbying on the federal level. So he couldn't be joined by a better guest, and we're so grateful for you joining us tonight, Dawn. And with Dawn tonight, we have the wonderful Carl Danz, CCL's liaison in one of our California districts, and Nick Huey, a CCL leader in Utah who's been collaborating on a lot of projects with CCL, sharing their stories from the field on in-district activities as well. We have three goals, and we've done our job well. You'll be walking away after attending tonight's training. You'll be able to review of the basics to getting your members in-district meetings scheduled as well as planned. We'll have the chance to really highlight and understand the importance of in-district experiences in moving your member of Congress forward toward support for climate action, including the Energy Innovation Act. And we'll also be able to spotlight where you might find some of these resources on CCL Community to get started. So with that, our agenda is really straightforward. We're going to have a chance to just focus first on why in-district, what's so important about it. After we establish the case for this critical area of building a relationship with your member, Dawn's going to highlight how you get started and then plan the meeting, and then we'll highlight additional ways that you can find more support online. And we'll close with some inspiring stories from the field of liaisons working to build these critical relationships in their own districts. So with that, though, I'll pass it to you, Dawn, and we'll get started.
Awesome. Thanks, Brett. So why do we do these in-district meetings? So at the start of the calendar year, CCL organizes our annual in-district lobby drive for volunteers to organize lobby meetings with congressional offices in those districts. So why do we focus on these in-district meetings? Why do they matter? Why are they important? Well, before we answer that, let's talk about how in-district meetings are different from DC office meetings. And we'll get into why we think that in-district meetings can help supplement our lobbying in DC. So duties of an office staff typically fall into two different categories: legislative, which is in DC, and representational, like in the district. The legislative staff is typically in the DC office. These are the staffers that are drafting legislation, they're attending committee meetings and hearings. And it's in DC where the members of Congress vote on legislation. So that makes sense, right? So what's going on in the offices? Well, our representational staff that are in the district offices, they tend to oversee the district schedule and spend most of the time with the member of Congress when he or she is in district. Most office personnel are dedicated to representational duties, which include responding to constituent questions and requests. This includes casework, like helping a senior citizen get a social security check that's been lost in the mail. Or let's say you forgot to renew your passport and you've got a flight in 2 weeks. Well, they can help you expedite that passport. They also help answer constituent mail. There's many DC staffers that do this work, but some of that falls onto the district staff as well. There's some key differences here, and you'll see differences within offices too. So I'll give you an example in North Carolina. North Carolina's junior senator, Tom Tillis, his district staff does not focus on any legislation. All legislation is handled by the DC staff, but they do help with these constituent services. Now, compare that to Representative Mark Walker in North Carolina. His office has been instrumental in helping to influence the member on his climate position and engages with us in policy and legislative discussions. So it's very possible that you can end up with very different types of engagement with your district office, but you won't know until you go and have those meetings. So that's why we encourage you to do so. Well, why else do we have in-district meetings? Well, more volunteers can participate. If it's an in-district meeting, well, district's only so large, so you're able to bring in more volunteers. You can bring in endorsers, supportive leaders in the community, like business leaders or faith leaders, so on. And we can meet more than once or twice a year. There's also a higher chance of getting a face-to-face meeting because in DC, members are always being pulled to the floor to vote. They've got competing committees to get to. But when they're in district, they usually have a little more free time and can devote more face-to-face time to constituents. Meetings in district can also improve our chances of getting meetings in DC because it helps build that relationship. And district staff can be very important in getting endorsements. We can learn from the district staff who they're listening to in the community and who are their trusted messengers. So let's talk about getting started. How do you go about getting this district meeting? So at the start of the calendar year, CCL organizes these annual in-district lobby drives for volunteers. And so now that the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act has been introduced, we'll now be focusing on getting these meetings here in district where you are and having those conversations locally. Because ultimately, all politics is local. So let's talk a little bit about the spring recess calendar. We encourage you to hold these meetings before April if possible. So that way your meetings are done before you start scheduling our June 11th lobby day meetings in DC. Your chances of getting a face-to-face meeting are especially good during the House and Senate recesses when your member of Congress will be working in their district or in their state office. And links to the House and Senate calendars are on our community website. So check out community. So when you're starting out, you want to determine the CCLer first who's willing to set the appointment. Now, who makes the most sense to call to set that appointment? Well, usually it's going to be the liaison because they're the ones who are managing the relationship with the office. If more than one chapter is in a district or state, group leaders can help the appointment setter coordinate and plan during their next regional or state leader call. This way CCLers from multiple chapters can participate. Try using a doodle poll to set up a time that works for the most number of CCLers to come to the meeting. And you can find doodle polls at doodle.com. Decide if your appointment request is for a staff level meeting or if you want to shoot for a face-to-face. Confirm with your member's office their preferred method for requesting an appointment. If you have a strong relationship with the staffer you wish to meet with, you can email him or her directly. Designated appointment setter, which is usually the liaison, request the meeting and follows up as needed, mostly via email. We discuss updated appointment setting instructions on liaison call and on community's in-district lobby page. We even have sample requests you can copy and edit that are short and concise. So check that out on community. So putting all this into practice, what does it look like? Well, if you haven't attended a lobby meeting before, we ask that you consider viewing the Lobby Practice Core Volunteer Training video. Brett and Amy do a great job role-playing what a meeting looks like. In your in-district lobby team, you should meet, set the agenda, assign roles, and rehearse the meeting. If you've been to DC, these are all things that are very familiar to you. The team should also finalize their appreciation for the member of Congress, study the primary asks and leave-behinds, and feel comfortable and know what you want to make for your secondary asks, as supporting asks as well. And don't forget to file your lobby meeting minutes afterwards. Those meeting minutes are really important for us. So don't forget to file those. And you can do that all online. So let's talk about scheduling a meeting. This is a simple two-step process. You can download the scheduling guide on community and then download a sample email template for requesting the meeting. So most of the work's already done for you here. If you're offered a meeting outside your original request, take it if you can. So if you request meeting on Tuesday, but they come back and say, well, we have availability Thursday, if there's any way your team can make it, do that. Because it won't always be possible to get the meetings on the dates you request. Keep in mind that starting in mid-April, you will be requesting a meeting for our June 11th lobby day in DC. So if you're still working in April with a scheduler to set a date for an in-district meeting, it is best to switch at that point and ask for a June meeting instead, or confirm with the scheduler in district in April and then again in DC in June. So let's move on to planning the meetings. I'm taking a look at our logistical considerations. Liaison and chapter members, especially constituents, should discuss and coordinate the meeting goals and agenda items. Based on your history with a member of Congress, review the primary ask and your primary supporting asks, because that'll help you understand where your secondary asks are going to come from. Use the meeting plan template to organize your meeting. Coordination is especially important if meetings will occur in more than one district office. So think about your senator. Some states, it's easy. There aren't going to be very many district offices because they're smaller states. But some states, like Texas, Florida, or California, you're going to have multiple Senate offices. So coordinate how this is going to work across your state. You may want to request that district staff join the meeting. For example, the district director is an important staffer and can really have the member of Congress's ear. So sometimes the Washington, D.C. congressional staff can also participate via a phone conference or a video conference. The member of Congress is not available, considering asking to meet with a district director or a district aide who works on this issue. Remember to coordinate with other chapters if yours is not the only chapter in the state or district. Teamwork matters. If there is more than one office in your state or district, discuss which district office to approach to request the meeting. Ask yourself, is it best to meet at the office closest to you, to be open to any office, to pick the office that your team can most easily reach, or to pick the office in the member of Congress's hometown? So who and what to bring? You'll want to discuss who should be on the lobby team. Good candidates include the liaison, group leader, volunteers from multiple CCL chapters and other parts of the state or district, and new volunteers who will feel empowered by the experience. We really encourage you to bring folks in who are new to CCL and folks who maybe don't have the opportunity to get to DC. This is a really wonderful opportunity for them to feel empowered and get a meeting experience with a member of Congress that they otherwise wouldn't have an opportunity to engage with. Remember to ask ahead of time how many people the district office can accommodate, and keep your lobby team size to no more than 6 or 7 people. Consider bringing influential community members such as business owners, local elected officials, university and hospital leadership, school board members, chamber presidents, nonprofit directors, faith leaders, and other high-profile community members. Start by reconnecting with key leaders who have already signed on as an endorser, and you can check that in the Grass Tops engagement tracker on the community. Let them know the purpose of the meeting and the date ranges, and ensure that any leaders you bring to the meeting are supportive of our ask to endorse the Energy Innovation Act. There are a lot of things you can bring and discuss, like signed endorsements, constituent letters, letters to the editor, and any resources the office has asked for, such as the REMI report or maybe the household impact study. Also consider bringing the Yale Climate Opinion Map for the state or district. Include perspectives that come from trusted messengers. For example, if your member is progressive, be sure to highlight the progressive resources that demonstrate how progressive the dividend is and work with the Progressive Outreach Action Team for other ideas. As another example, the success of CCL chapters in Michigan to get Representative Trott to sign on to the Energy Innovation Act from the last congressional session was due to the chapter's use of materials in their meetings from other conservative-leaning groups, including the Climate Leadership Council. The liaison's advice? If people want to lobby a conservative, they have to look outside CCL for information, and I think that should be made clear. And CCL's Conservative Caucus is here to provide you with many good hints and resources to help you with just that. Let's talk about some possible discussion questions. Some of the following information gathering questions may be useful depending on where the member of Congress is on our ladder of support for the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. There are no substitutes for your primary ask leave behind, and you'll want to have supporting asks ready. Ask, what do you like about the Energy Innovation Act, and how do you think it can be improved? ask what CCL can do in district to make it easier for the member to support or co-sponsor or vote for the Bipartisan Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. If needed, ask, well, with this Congress, what do you think is the best way to move forward on energy and climate? And what is your preferred way to lower emissions? All of these are great questions that can help engage a staff or member of Congress and move the needle in discussing climate. At the end of your meeting, request a meeting in Washington, D.C. for our Tuesday, June 11th Lobby Day. Keep in mind, you will separately still need to submit a formal request for this, but ask what the member of Congress would like to discuss in June and offer your own suggestions. This is a great way to kind of prime the pump for our June meeting. It gives you a great opportunity to understand what the member of Congress needs in order to support it so you can be ready come June. After the meeting, what should we do? Well, after the meeting, we want to make sure that we get the team together for a few minutes and share notes and consider feedback on how the meeting went, what went well, and what could be improved. And confirm that the note taker is able to file the lobby meeting field report. It's very important that we file that report. It really helps us gauge where these members of Congress are and gives direction to our DC team so they know where to spend their time and energy. So you also want to do any follow-up tasks from the meeting, if that's, you know, a follow-up with a local community member or outreach to a business or perhaps providing additional information about the Energy Innovation Act via the report or any other study that would be useful to the member. So from there, I'm going to turn it over to Brett, who's going to talk about some more support for you.
Yeah, thanks so much, Don. Yeah, the big thing in resources is just to highlight that there are many other trainings connecting to what you can do with your member of Congress. So if you're curious about specifically working with your Congress member in DC, we have a whole series of trainings on our training topic page, Working with Congress, including advice on scheduling a meeting in DC, additional information on preparing for your meeting, taking good notes, you name it. We also have many wonderful resources, including even a meeting planning template in our resource library. And then we have a whole host of other trainings relating to in-district activities. So if you're interested in finding out more about site visits and other advice and experiences after hearing about Nick's story tonight, or how you can attend campaign season activities and town halls, all of those are also available if you look for congressional in-district trainings on community. Now, what we're going to do next, though, is transition to learning how two different CCL volunteers throughout the country have really put this framework and the importance of in-district activities to work. So we're going to hear the stories from CCL's Carl Danz and Nick Huey about the importance, the critical nature of in-district activities and how they have really used them to build and deepen the relationship with their members of Congress. First up, we have Carl Danz, followed by Nick Huey.
Well, hi there. My name's Carl Danz, and I've been a CCL volunteer for almost 6 years now. And the last several years, I've had the real privilege of serving as liaison to our wonderful Congresswoman Anna Eshoo, serving out here in California District 18, which encompasses a lot of interesting companies and people, but it's principally known as the home of Silicon Valley. And she's a very tech-savvy member of Congress, and she takes great pride in that. So, and, you know, in terms of some of the things that we've done here when we're in district, we've really tried to take advantage of that in a number of different ways. And a couple things that maybe to highlight. One is that it's all about relationships, right? I mean, we've learned this in our work with CCL. And so, for example, when I came to learn that there was a new local in-district staffer who was assigned energy and environment, I asked him if it would be okay to get together, just the two of us, you know, just have coffee and get caught up. And he was open to that, and we did that. And that was great, right? Because some of the things that we take advantage of that are different from what we could do in D.C., for example, we are here in Silicon Valley, and that affords us an opportunity to bring in, for example, local business leaders, particularly from the tech companies. And I'm recalling one meeting in particular where we really scored on this one. One of our volunteers was able to line up the head of sustainability for Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, was in the meeting, along with the VP of Environmental and Energy Policy for the Silicon Valley Leadership Group, which is, you know, by the name you could tell, it's kind of the local business association for tech firms, or for Silicon Valley firms in general, not just tech. So here we have the head of sustainability for HPE. We had the head of sustainability, environment, energy policy for Silicon Valley Leadership Group, and our congresswoman. And quite frankly, that was a three-way meeting between the three of them, and we just sort of took notes. And it was fantastic, right? Because, you know, we were able to sort of discuss things like how can business leaders help, you know, through endorsements or other mechanisms to advance the state of the art here with carbon fee and dividend. Another great thing that we've done is we brought in young people. I'll never forget this one meeting where we had a young man who's from the local high school, and Congresswoman Eshoo made a real point of, you know, welcoming him to the beginning of the meeting and how excited she was to see young people engaged in civic activities. And then after the meeting ended, he was the first person that she ran over to shake his hand and thank him for being in the meeting. One of the more fun stories that I really want to share about working with Congresswoman Anna Eshoo is that in June of 2015, at a D.C.-based meeting with her, we were going over carbon fee and dividend, and in particular, we were emphasizing the benefits that had been identified as part of the REMI report. And she was paying close attention, and that at the end, she said, "Wow, you know, it's like hitting the jackpot. It's like getting five cherries, and you know, in a row." And then she read back, you know, reduces CO2 emissions by 50% after 20. You know, she read back all the REMI talking points to line up with the five cherries idea, and we thought that was just such a great metaphor. And so right after the meeting, one of our guys says, "I'm going to mock that up and send it to you by the end of the day." You know, and we had this like nice little PowerPoint slide with the five cherries and, you know, each of the many high points listed across. And then in our very next DC meeting that following November, Bill Bechert, who was the liaison at the time, he had printed that beautifully, framed it in a proper frame, and, you know, carried it on the plane in bubble wrap. And so we showed up in November, and he asked for a minute of her time to present that to her. And she was really moved by it. And again, she read back the five key REMI talking points from this PowerPoint slide in a frame, which is now, by the way, on display in the entryway of her DC office, you know, along with a lot of other memorabilia and such. So that's, you know, that's a fun thing. And I have to say that Representative Eshoo has carried that forward so beautifully. I mean, she just in the last couple of months in a piece of U.S. mail that she sent me with a lot of handwritten personal stuff on it, one of the things she said was in response to the fact that I had left some chocolate-covered cherries for the staffers was that the legacy of Bill Bechert lives on. I mean, here we are years later, and she's remembering him and kind of tying it back. So it's quite a story. I don't mean it to be a downer story. I mean, I think it's actually a positive story that somebody, you know, we're all going to go sometime, and this guy sort of had advance notice and took advantage of that to try to make sure we had an ongoing relationship. So, you know, Bill, wherever you are, man, we're getting it done. We got the bill in play now, and your work is being carried on. So that's just a big part of the story in terms of our relationship with Congresswoman Anna Eshoo. So in closing, I've got to say that meeting with your member of Congress or their staffers in district, there's so many advantages to that. It's first of all, you have greater access typically. You know, things are a little more relaxed. You can get some extra time. You know, the prospect of being at a town hall meeting where you might actually get, you know, 10 minutes of focused conversation at the end with a member of Congress or a key staffer, you know, and that's all in addition, of course, to the more formal and organized meetings in the in-district office. the fact that we can bring in local business leaders or other community leaders, and that actually enhances our relationships with them, for us to be able to say, hey, you know, we could bring you into a meeting with your member of Congress in an organized fashion where we're advancing a specific piece of legislation, that carries a lot of weight with business leaders rather than just, you know, come by for a photo op. So we try to take advantage of all those things. And I've got to say that I don't think our DC meetings would be nearly as effective if we hadn't had a regular set of interactions over the years and taken advantage of the opportunities of doing in-district formal meetings in her office, as well as some of the more ad hoc things we do. It works really well.
Oh, my name is Nicholas Huey. I am a recent graduate from BYU. I'm working in advertising in Salt Lake City. I'm with the Salt Lake City chapter of CCL currently. I just barely moved from Colorado. And yeah, I did a lot of organizing while I was at BYU for different climate change protests and events and stunts. And it was really fun. The question is, how did this idea come about? This idea being, we organized a nature walk with John Curtis, who's a representative in Congress for Utah. And the answer to that is, I really wanted to organize an outing, something that would look really, really good for the congressman and at the same time provide some really easy segues into talking about climate change. So the step-by-step, what are the step-by-step instructions for what we did for this? Are the first thing that we did was we gathered a credible team together, particularly from Brigham Young University, which was in John Curtis's district. And we went and found different, we found different professors that cared about climate change and said, who would be the best professors to talk about the local effects of climate change in John Curtis's district? And the first professors we talked to weren't the right ones, but they were able to say, Ben Abbott is your guy. So we went and approached Ben Abbott and said, would this interest you? And he said, of course it would. I want to be part of it. They were excited too. And Ben Abbott is this super eloquent professor who was able to help us. So we had Ben Abbott on our team and a few other backup professors as well. Then we reached out to other organizations within the district who had members within the district. You want to get as many constituents as you can. And CCL didn't have an established strong chapter in the Provo area. And so we got all the CCL members we could, trying to stay on the young side, got a bunch of students, and then we partnered with Audubon, Republic EN, and Citizens Climate Lobby. If there were more, that'd be great, but we wanted to definitely lean more Republican because we were talking with a Republican congressperson. So then we identified with our experts, we identified where is it that in the district that we can experience the most diverse array of climate change effects so that we can be really effective with our time. We know we're going to get probably an hour and a half tops with John Curtis. So it all needs to be within walking distance. So we pulled out the maps. We got together with them and they said, okay, listen, we can hit rivers. We can hit invasive species. We can hit wildfires. And we can hit our lakes from here. We were up on the side of a mountain in our case. And we were able to see all these things from there and then actually get down and dirty in the picking out invasive species and just talking, you know? So you want to have it very well mapped out and planned so that the representative knows exactly what they're getting into. Then once we had everything planned out with the 60 to 90 minute maximum time limit, we went to the office with a plan A, plan B, and plan C saying, listen, we would love to do this thing with John Curtis. We'd love to take pictures if that's okay. If not, that's fine. We want it to make John Curtis look good and look like he's concerned about his district. Is this something you'd be interested in? And the plans A, B, and C were, here's a 15-minute plan. Here's a 45-minute plan if he's got that kind of time. Here's our, you know, our dream of an hour and a half plan if that's okay. And they got back and John Curtis said, yeah, I'd absolutely be willing to do that. Here are the dates that I'm available. And we worked with those dates and we got our hour and a half time limit that we were just, you know, hoping for. So then we got 10 to 20 constituents to come on the hike. And we asked John Curtis if he'd be okay with press outreach, and he said absolutely. We got somebody from the Daily Herald there, so that this all turned into a very positive experience. It's very hard to take a shot at your congressperson sitting there in, you know, in a pair of boots or waders out in the district just familiarizing themselves with their locale. Like, it's just a total win for them. And it's a total win for us because we develop more solid relationships and we're able to really talk about things in a way we wouldn't otherwise be able to. And then obviously we follow up with the article and the thank you letters. We want to make sure they see, listen, here's the press and it was great. And thank you so much, right? When it's really good. They'll probably need to leave early from the nature walk. So when they leave, you can even have just the letters there and pass them out and say, hey guys, we're going to follow up with thank you letters here in the next week or two. Let's just write them right now with what we're feeling and gratitude, and we'll hand deliver those later to his office. Definitely ask if you can have a follow-up meeting in the coming months. Just say, thank you so much for coming out here with us. We'd love to follow up with a more detailed maybe plan of what we can do to make a positive difference in this area, the area we're standing in right now, to, you know, better our state. And they'll respond really well to that. You thank them. Thank the heck out of them. So what did I learn from this experience that I think other groups could benefit from? It's that we always want to go in with the attitude of how can I help you, right? How can I help you to be successful in your district? And the cool part about this is that it's instantly helpful. You're already helping with their PR. You're saying, listen, we want to get great pictures of you. We want to show that you're concerned. It's going to be great for the left and the right because you're in the district. Everybody loves nature, even if they disagree with how to take care of it. The other thing is to be very, very well organized. And the one thing that I really think is underutilized in the nation are professors at universities. You get there and you get into the life sciences department, you know, and they are passionate and they just want to be doing stuff. And they're eloquent. They know everything about their district and about the effects of climate change. And you mention, you know, false data if somebody else mentions like that they don't believe in climate change for this and this reason, and they don't trust the data, they can really speak to those concerns in some really eloquent ways. So I would definitely look for more ways to partner with local professors because they are seen as experts. Just because they're at the university. If I'm an older BYU fan, right, I don't believe in climate change, but I love BYU, and the professors from that university are going on a walk and talking about how important climate change is, that's going to have a lot more cred for me than just some climate scientist that I've never heard of. All of a sudden, the brand of that university is backing that expert, so they're elevated a whole nother step up. So definitely working with them is important. And I think it can go a long way in Republican heavy districts.
All right. Well, with that excellent advice, I will pass it back to Don to close with a reflection of really what this all means and how all of us listening in are a part of this process together.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, I just want to thank y'all for being on. Thanks for all the work that you're doing. You know, ultimately, this all supports all the work that we're doing, right? I mean, engagement that we do, all the volunteers that we work with, all the grass tops, the grassroots, the media work that we do, all of this helps move these members of Congress forward. And the more members of Congress are hearing both in DC and in their district about how important action on climate change is, how important pricing carbon is, and then of course, you know, the amazing bill of the Energy Innovation Act and getting them to support that, getting them to commit to voting for it, and getting them to co-sponsor it, really helps move this forward. And I want to say, like, especially right now, the work that we're doing is incredibly important. We know it's an election year. We know it's a big election year. But just because we're in an election year doesn't mean that we don't have work to do. We're laying the groundwork. We're building these relationships. And they're going to carry through. Keep in mind also that staffers switch positions. They will move from members of Congress to senators and back. So it's entirely possible that you could build a really good relationship with a staffer who ends up moving to a member of Congress who hadn't even considered co-sponsoring our bill. But if that staffer is a big advocate for it, we can see that member of Congress move. So not only when you're meeting with these folks, do you have an opportunity to influence that staffer and your member of Congress, but when they switch offices, they can end up influencing another member of Congress too. So you never know how far your work is going to go. So I just want to thank you all for everything that you're doing. And I'm glad that you're here and y'all give me a lot of hope.
Thank you so much, Don. I really appreciate and echoing your words, how much all of you on the line listening in are doing to move your member forward on this critical issue. If there's anything that Don or I can do, please see both of our emails listed here on this page, as well as where you can get more advice and support on our forums on community. With that, we wish you a wonderful night and look forward to seeing you on the next training. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Y'all are awesome.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.